This is April 26th. So today's section is rather long. And because of that, sometimes we gravitate towards the lines we understand and ignore those that might feel more hidden or distant. So we need to be vigilant. Vigilant when listening to Dogen's section. And this vigilance, this attitude, is an important attitude in Sesshin, especially for those of us who've been doing these seven dayers for many years. We naturally move into what we know and are comfortable with, and we ignore or almost make unconscious other parts or aspects of Sesshin, or you could say of our lives, since Sesshin right now is your life. Allow yourself to push the edges of what you notice and of what you are comfortable with. When we stay within our comfort range or within our range of security, it is easy to miss new opportunities since we are focused on what we know and thus see and experience what we expect. For many of us, this might be a wonderful time to be more mindful. The energy of Sesshin and Zazen is strong in your body, and sometimes it is hard to contain. So without being aware of it, we release the energy or let it leak by walking with heavy feet, by closing doors with a crash and bang. Sometimes we take too much food and use a shovel while eating rather than a spoon. See if you can move more deliberately, more skillfully, although the point is to contain the energy of Sesshin. Pay attention to the details of your practice, the details of Sesshin. Turn off the lights when you leave a room. Brush your shoes off before entering the building. Bow with intention and focus, and treat your companions on the way with a generous attitude, even if that isn't how you are feeling. If you notice desire or inclination to talk to the cooks about too salty or not salty enough, or to the leaders because the bells are too loud or soft, the light too dim or bright, the incense too sweet or sour, please restrain yourself. Again, this is just another way to leak, to not contain your own practice and what might be arising. At such a time as this, pay attention to your own heart, to its contractions and tightness. Settle into your unease, into your dissatisfaction, and learn something about yourself and your relationship to correct and incorrect, to right and to wrong. And by learning and leaning into this dissatisfaction or unease, you begin to build a seamless monument. If you have any questions about what I've just said, please bring them to Dokusan. Like I said yesterday, if your practice is sloppy, your life will be sloppy. If your practice is spotty, your expression will be spotty. And if your practice is open and generous, you will be open and generous. So let's read this section with eyes of not knowing. And let's meet this session day with those same eyes. Let's invite in what we keep outside of our awareness. Let's invite in what we don't often let ourselves feel. Let's not gravitate to what we understand, thus putting our imprint on Genjo Koan, on Sesshin. Instead, let Sesshin, let Genjo Koan, the manifesting of reality, imprint itself on you. So because this is a long section, I think I'll read you the first two lines, comment on those, then read you the longer middle section, comment on that, and then the shorter last section. So if the Dharma has not yet fully come into one's body and mind, one thinks it is already sufficient. On the other hand, if the Dharma fills one's body and mind, there is a sense of insufficiency. Another way to state this first sentence would be, when the Dharma has come into one's body and mind, but hasn't yet completely filled it, one thinks it is sufficient. If you do not fully forget yourself, but you are relaxed, calm, peaceful, and quiet in your zazen, you might think you've got it. However, this is a great mistake, and one of the main problems with not having a question, or a desire, or an intention. We can sit in that vast open ocean that is neither a circle nor has directions, and think or feel that this is it. It is dangerous when we rate our own state of mind because we only know ourselves up to this moment, and it is easy to be caught by ideas and feelings without knowing that is what is happening. This is why it is important to ask yourself, at least at the beginning of each block of sitting, what is mu? Or who hears? And incidentally, what is it is not a good question, being too generic, too general. What is mu? Who hears? These questions do not let you become complacent or settled with what you know up until this moment. This is also why in our tradition, the teacher constantly asks in Dokusan, does the sound of the bell come to you, or do you go to it? Or at the appropriate time, how do you explain mu so a baby can understand? Or, what is the sound of one hand? These questions, these koan, invite a seeing through, conditions and circumstances. These questions invite us to step through our knowing to what is right before us. In fact, they invite us to step through to what is actually before knowing itself. So this second sentence says, on the other hand, if the Dharma fills one's body-mind, there is a sense of insufficiency. Of course, each event, each situation, each moment is full and complete to itself. But after Shakyamuni had his intimate meeting with the Venus star, He did not stay under the Bodhi tree. He first formulated the great vows, and then he got up to find his friends to tell them the good news. And then he started a community, and so on. The bottomless depths and fathomless vastness of the world and self continue to unfold and call us to deeper and endless possibilities of intimacy. One grain of sand contains the entire universe. An entire beach of sand offers countless and untold worlds of awakening. During Zazen, with one inhale, we and the universe are born. We grow up. We live full lives. And then with one exhale, each and everything dies, passes away. To feel sufficient in the vastness of all that is possible. To feel sufficient in the vastness of all that is possible would be a great loss. After Dongshan left his teacher to go on pilgrimage, he saw his reflected image in the river he was crossing. He experienced a great opening, and he wrote, "Earnestly avoid seeking without, lest it recede from you. Today I am walking alone, yet everywhere I meet her. She is now no other than myself, but I am not now her. It must be understood in this way in order to merge with suchness. It is no other than me, but I am not now all of it." We are left with the sense, although we are completely satisfied and full, that there is still more. There is a sense of insufficiency, a sense that at the bottomless bottom, it is unimaginable, inexpressible, unnameable, and ultimately unknowable. This sense of insufficiency, rather than leading to a personalized feeling of inadequacy, instead leads to, "I am only a simple disciple, but I offer these respectful words." This feeling of insufficiency leads to a sense of humility and vulnerability, which is the direct pathway to love, a love with all we are and all we will never be. It leads directly to a love with all we know and understand and all we can never know and understand. And it leads to a love of the world, all its innumerable, wondrous features, both known and not. So I'll stop here with these two sentences, although having not said it the way I'd like, I find I am left feeling insufficient in the face of Dogen's koan. So Dogen next says, it is like going out on a boat in the middle of an ocean with no mountains. Looking in the four directions, one only sees a circle, no distinguishing forms or scene. Nevertheless, this great ocean is neither a circle nor has directions. The wondrous features of this ocean that remain beyond our vision are inexhaustible. It is like a palace. It is like a jeweled necklace. It is just that as far as my vision reaches for the time being, it appears to be a circle. So this is a good time to remember the opening lines of the Genjo koan. When all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there are delusion and enlightenment, practice, birth, death, Buddhas, and sentient beings. When the myriad dharmas all are without self, there is no delusion, no enlightenment, no Buddhas, no sentient beings, no birth, and no death. Since originally the Buddha way goes beyond abundance and scarcity, there are birth and death, delusion and enlightenment, sentient beings, and Buddhas. So there is an ocean, and it has directions, relates to this first line in the Genjo koan. And then the second introduces or echoes that you are in the middle of the ocean and it has no mountains. It is a great circle and no distinguishing forms are seen. It has no eye, no ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. It has no color, sound, scent, taste, touch, or thought. And then Dogen takes another step, showing body, then no body. Ocean with features, ocean with no features. And he says, although what I just said in those two lines is true, nevertheless, this great ocean is neither a circle nor has it directions. He is saying it is neither empty nor not empty. This practice is not about thinking when on the cushion, but it also isn't about not thinking. It isn't about indulging the body, but it isn't about denying the body. It isn't about being or non-being. It is the middle path, the path of non-duality. And since originally the Buddha way goes beyond abundance and scarcity, there are wondrous features, many of which remain beyond our common, everyday vision. It is like a palace. It is like a jeweled necklace. It is like the morning mist sliding down the valley, revealing the new spring snow. It is like a baby taking her first wobbly, stiff-legged steps before toppling over. It is like last night's new moon reflecting brilliantly in the glitter of the stars. And these wondrous features also simply are our standing up and sitting down. And they are also taking a walk to the corner store to pick up coffee for friends who are coming over to sit in the morning. However, for now, it is the way my eye of practice can see it. It is still something. It is still a circle, and it has directions. But the key word in this sentence is for now. At another point called now, it will be a jewel, a palace. And then at another point, it will be simply standing, sitting, and giving your loved one a kiss. As I write this, I realize how grateful I am and blessed to have had the teacher I did. I would bring to Aiken Roshi in Dokusan the most subtle somethings and even more subtle nothings. And he'd kindly look me in the eye, gently smile, pick up the bell, and ring it, saying, even more intimate than that, or you don't have to depend even on that. Our clear seeing and understanding reach only as far as our insight. But your insight can see through the one who is seeing. Our practice is not only about understanding that a dragon experiences the world one way, a child another way, and you a third way. It is not only about understanding that water is a jewel for a diva, a home for a fish, and something to drink for a hard-ridden horse. Most mature people understand those nuances. Although it may never feel completely sufficient, the power of our penetrating insight can see through subject, object, and activity. It can see through to no subject, no object, and no activity. Dogen then echoes the fourth line at the beginning of Genjo Koan, saying, in order to understand the nature of the myriad dharmas, in addition to seeing the directions and circle, we should know that the mountains and oceans have whole worlds of innumerable wondrous features. We should understand that it is not only our distant surroundings that are like this, but even what is right here, even in a single drop of water. In seeing through the one who sees, we then see the entire universe in a grain of sand. We see in a drop of dew reflections of the 10,000 things, and we experience the innumerable wondrous features of the ocean as we take to the bath after a long day of zazen. Do not worry about subjective views. Do not worry about objective reality. Only keep your mind on finding an umbrella when it starts to rain, and a hoe when it is time to weed. Only keep your mind on finding a bed to sleep in when you are tired, and something to eat when you are hungry. The rest will take care of itself if you continue to practice with the intention of waking up in this continually awakening universe. The rest will follow if you practice your vow to save all beings. Okay, thank you.